We're continuing in our series on James. Hope you're enjoying it as we get stuck in. I said that, hope you're enjoying it, because during the week someone came up and said, "Oh, you know, we're getting stuck into James, are you enjoying it?" And I wasn't quite sure how to answer. Enjoying James? It is a privilege to look closely at God's Word. Enjoying? Well, it is confronting and uncomfortable. I'm not sure if it's enjoyable. As we've looked so far in the letter of James, we've seen a little bit of what the Christian life actually looks like. And it's been confronting. As he's spoken to us about what comes out of our mouths matters as Christians. You know, as we're so tempted to talk over other people, or our angry words, those words that have said in the heat of the moment, they are not on for Christians. We are to keep a tight rein on our tongues. We are to be those who are quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Very challenging words. We've also been challenged on how we practically live out the Christian life, particularly in the area of how we care for the helpless, the orphans and widows in distress. That as Christians we're to be those who don't just have good intentions, but actually live out the Christian life. And we are to be actively and consciously keeping ourselves away from being polluted from the world, from the culture around us. It's a big challenge, isn't it? Last week we looked at those little thoughts of our hearts. As we're so quick to make judgments, either to discriminate or show favouritism based on appearances. James is very challenging. But I want to ask you a question this evening, and that is, as you've heard these things, what a Christian life looks like, have you done anything about it? We all had a laugh at Pete's expense the other week as we looked at the fool who looks at himself in the mirror. Remember Pete? He had the little hair hat on top. And he forgot about it. What a fool to look at himself in the mirror and forget and then wander off. Well, we've been challenged by God's word. Have you done anything about it? Have you changed? Have you put things in place? Have you made little steps? Have you acted on what you've heard? This evening, the section that we're looking at in James is about faith and actions, living it out. Or more accurately, James makes the point that faith without actions, that is, faith that's just up here, just knowledge stuff, that doesn't affect the heart and then flow out in actions, in living, James says that's not Christian faith. It's not saving faith. Just before we get in and look more closely at this section, I just want to make a little comment, because people can get very confused as we look at James here. Because we have the Apostle Paul in the back of our minds. And so people ask the question, did James and Paul disagree? Because they both speak about faith and works, but it sounds so different. Let me try and explain. Paul is talking about how to be right with God. And he says it's not about actions. It's not about our works, what we do. But we are saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by our works. That's Paul. James, on the other hand, he's not talking about how you become a Christian. Rather, how to live as a Christian. He describes what a genuine Christian faith looks like in practice. See, for Paul, he says, you're saved by faith alone. James, his point is the faith that saves is never alone. Genuine faith is always lived out in actions. In the whole passage that we're looking at this evening, James makes one point. His point is faith without deeds is dead. Have a look at verse 14. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? No. Notice the repetition. Skim your eyes down. See how James repeats himself four times as he hammers home this one point. Verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by actions, is dead. Verse 20, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Just notice the structure there. As is James's style, he makes one simple point and then he illustrates it with people. As you see there, he uses four illustrations, four real life examples. Two negative, two positive. Let's go through them one by one. The first person we're introduced to, this is a negative example. We see it in verses 15 and 16. This is the guy who professes to have faith, but has no actions. Verse 15. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Notice there that it's a brother or sister. It's a fellow Christian who has without clothes or food. The word there is their daily food. Literally, they are starving. And this person's response, go, I wish you well. It's actually a Christian saying, go in peace, in the original. Go in peace. And keep well fed and keep warm. But he does nothing about it. Like, I'll pray for you, and does nothing about it. Conclusion, verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, if it's not lived out, is dead. Faith by itself, just intellectual assent, if it's not accompanied by actions, if it's not expressed, is dead. This is not Christian faith. Secondly, the second negative example is verses 18 and 20. And I take it that this guy is completely opposite to the first. But, verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. I'll show you my faith by what I do. This guy is the bloke who lives out the moral implications of the Sermon on the Mount. He follows the Christian virtues. He's the guy that says, yeah, of course I believe there's a God out there. And look at my fridge. Look at all the sponsor kids I look after. Every Christmas, I help out for half a day at the soup kitchen. I volunteer a part of the Red Shield appeal. Look at what I do. This is real faith. I take it verse 19 is a rebuke. You believe in God? Good on you. Even the demons believe that. You know things about God, but you don't know him. Can you see James's points? Faith without actions is not real Christian faith. Actions, even very good actions, without faith is no good either. Instead, it moves on to verses 21 to 26 as he gives the positive examples what saving faith really looks like. Look there, he uses two examples and they're striking because they're so different. Firstly, Abraham, verses 21 to 24, then Rahab, 25 and 26. Polar opposite people. Abraham, an honourable man. Rahab, a dishonourable woman. She's a prostitute. Abraham, the father of Israel. Rahab, she's an outsider. She's a Gentile. Yet both of these people, regardless of their standing in society, regardless of their backgrounds, they are both considered righteous. And they're held out here as models to us because of how individually they have responded to God. Firstly, Abraham. Verses 21 to 24 recalls Genesis 22. Genesis 22 is a terrifying part of the scriptures. For God tests Abraham and tells him to go and sacrifice his son. And you can understand that for many reasons, Abraham could have refused. God, what are you talking about? This is my only son. You're a good God. I'm not going to kill my son. It's ridiculous. Or he could have said, God, what about your promise? You promised that through my line there would be a great nation, and this is the hope, my son. I'm not going to do it. Or he could say, you promised that all nations will be blessed through this line. I'm not going to do it. It would have been very easy for Abraham to refuse. But Abraham is obedient. And that's James's point. His faith is shown in obedience. As very simply, he hears God, he hears God's word, and he does it. Genesis 22 retells a story how this son is on the top of the mountain on a pile of wood. Abraham, the father, is there with matches and knife, about to kill his son as God said. Then God calls out, "Don't touch the boy. I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your only son." Then God provided a substitute, a ram. Faith expressed in obedience. Rahab, the second positive example, verses 25 and 26 recalls Joshua chapter 2, when Rahab protects the Israelite spies. As you read, and I hope you do this week, Joshua chapter 2, there's a great bit about verses 9 to 11, when Rahab hears about this God of Israel. Here's what he did as he rescued his people through the Red Sea, and how he started conquering the land and giving them the land as he promised. And Rahab concludes that this one, that he is the God. He says, the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and of earth below. And hearing who God is, she takes a very courageous step and turns against her countrymen. She expresses her allegiance to God by protecting the spies. Her faith, her allegiance to the God of Israel, was expressed in action. James gives us four examples. Which one are you going to be like? Are you going to be like the first guy? All faith, no actions? Yeah. Well, you'll survive in the church. You'll probably go pretty well in Bible study, as you'll know all the answers intellectually. You'll come along for years and feel part of the church. But what James says here is striking. Intellectual assent is not Christian faith. Faith just up here will not save you. Or are you going to be like the second guy? All action, no faith. For good works by themselves, this is not Christian faith. It will not save you. Instead, we are to be like Abraham and Rahab. They listened and did. They lived lives of obedience. They had actions that expressed their loyalty to their Lord and Saviour. Who are you going to be like? Those angry words, those words that are said on the heat of the moment, as we're tempted to talk over other people, we're told we're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. How are you going? Are you doing anything about it? Are you going to live out the Christian life? Caring for the helpless. What does it look like now to be a Christian in Christchurch? Post-earthquake. As you hear about people in our city who are suffering. Yeah, even brothers and sisters in Christ who will be cold this winter. What's it look like for you to live out the Christian faith? Are you going to do anything about it? We're not to be judgmental in our thoughts. Going to do anything about it? Going to live it out? Because faith without deeds is dead. It's a simple message. I'm going to spend a few moments praying for us as a congregation. And for some of us here this evening, I think we need a bit of a kick up the backside in how we live out the Christian faith. As I suspect that we know of certain areas in our life when we are conscious that we're not obedient to Him, that we're not following Him. Yeah, not even a hint of sexual immorality. What does it mean to live out the Christian life? Some of us need a little kick up the backside. Others, we need a gentle reminder and an encouragement to keep going. It's hard to be not affected by the culture around us. Keep going, keep striving. But for others of us here, I believe it's a spiritual issue. What do I mean? I think if I tell you just to go out there and try harder, it won't work. Why? It's spiritual. Let me explain. Personally, myself, I was part of church for a long time, part of youth group, part of Bible study, and very happily I could say Jesus is Lord. I could do the comprehension game as we sit in Bible studies. I could read it. I was part of the church. I could very easily say Jesus is Lord. Did it affect my life? No. Yet, over time, God, through his Spirit, was at work. He is the one who opens the eyes. He is the one who convicts the heart. He's the one who confronted me and showed me that if Jesus is Lord, if I not only said it but believed it, that Jesus is Lord, that one day he will return and that I'll face him as my judge, then it affects this area of my life and this area and this area. Friends, that is the work of the Spirit. And I suspect for some of us, we need God to be at work to open our eyes and to give us real Christian faith. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, firstly we want to confess that we are so quickly disobedient. As you teach us how to live as your people, yet so quickly we are distracted by the world around us and lured to live for the world. Father, we do thank you so much for the examples of Abraham and Rahab. Father, help us to be those who listen to your word and do it. Father, we pray for those tonight who do not have saving faith. Father, we pray that your Spirit will be at work, opening blind eyes. Father, thank you that faith is a gift from you. And Father, we do pray that you'll open blind eyes so that people here won't have mere intellectual assent, won't just say things that are true, but Father, we pray that you'll convict the hearts and minds, that we as individuals and us as a church will be shaped and changed so that we live out the Christian life, so that we be those who listen to your word and do. And Father, we pray that we'll be your people as you want us to be. Amen.